The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The weather was very good today. It's the first day the sun has been shining in a while. So is it now that we should might tentatively head out and start planting things?
Absolutely. The weather is promised, Jonathan, not just today, but right through until next week, well into next week. So it's beautiful planting weather. The soil conditions are absolutely perfect at the moment. And I notice in my own garden over the last 3 to 4 days, the growth has really come forward. So growth has been slow. We have to say that growth is probably 2 weeks behind where it would normally be. But the weather that we're expecting now over the next couple of days is absolutely perfect for getting back out into your garden, planting up your vegetables and your herbs and your hanging baskets and so on.
Yeah, I've been holding back on my hanging baskets out of laziness, and I've been blaming the weather. So now is the time to do it. So what should I be planting this weekend?
Well, all the typical hanging basket plants, things like trailing fuchsias, the lovely trailing petunias, bacopas, lobelias, your garden, pop into your local garden centre. They'll have lots of really good plants available. Now, do remember, there's still a touch of frost at night time, Jonathan. So when you're planting up your hanging basket, try to place it in a sheltered, protected area. So if you've got a greenhouse or a tunnel, that's a perfect location, or a porch or conservatory, or keep it indoors, particularly during the evenings. Fine to put it out during the day, but in evening times, take it in until the risk of frost passes. But many other outdoor plants can be planted. Things like cottage garden plants like lupins and foxgloves and alstroemerias that are going to flower from May right through till the end of the summer. They can be planted safely out of doors. So there's lots of plants that are frost hardy, as it were. All our vegetables, all our herbs, lots of those sort of plants you can put directly outdoors now. They're perfectly fine.
And thinking of the strawberries as well, I have strawberries that I'm kind of loath to put out just yet, just in case that the frost might get them. But is it safe enough for a hardy plant like that?
It is indeed, and for all fruiting plants. So strawberries are a plant that you can actually leave out 12 months of the year. They do tend to die back a little bit over the winter, but at the moment they're really coming forward. I have quite a number of them planted outside in pots and containers and out in the garden soil, and they're doing really well over the last couple of days. They'll actually be initiating their flower buds in about 2 weeks' time and coming into flower for May. So my advice really, Jonathan, is put those strawberries outside, and remember, you can grow them in window boxes, hanging baskets, or indeed out in little ridges in the garden at this time of year.
Dandelions. Can we please talk about dandelions? They are the scourge of every garden. And at the same time, we know the bees like them and they get good stuff off them. But I left a patch of dandelions for them to have a go off, but the ones are still trying to come up on the lawn.
Yeah, well, look, dandelions are a fantastic source of pollen in particular for bees. And the bees have had a really, really tough winter and spring because it's been so late and it's been so wet. So my advice is to leave the dandelions. Well, I mean, what's the harm in a couple of dandelions in your lawn? They're full of pollen. They're very beneficial for particularly honeybees. And I would advise people to leave them alone. Mm. They're in the sunflower family, Jonathan, and they follow the sun. If you watch a dandelion flower, it actually traces the sun. So it'll actually move around following the sun during the day. But look, my advice is to leave them alone. Okay. If you want to treat them in late summer, autumn, but let the bees have them at this time
of year. They're hardy yolks because, as I said to you before, I'm a lazy man. So I have a robot that cuts my grass. And the dandelions will only come up to the level. The flowers now have realised the level at which they can grow to without getting the head taken off them. And I'm in awe at nature because they should be 6-7 inches tall, but these little tiny ones, they've barely grown and they've worked out, I won't get my head taken off if I grow to this height.
Isn't that the beauty of plants, how they adapt to the different environments? And remember with the dandelion, every part of it is edible. You can eat the root, you can eat the leaves, and you can eat the flowers of dandelion. So, look, leave them alone, let them flower, let the bees have their fun for the next 5 or 6 weeks, and the dandelion won't stay in flower forever.
You've been bought off by Big Dandelion Porricork, and you won't even sell me a pesticide. Anyway, Breed has a question on tech. Could you ask Porrick, can I plant out my sweet peas yet?
Yes, you can. And breed, my advice is to, again, they're frost hardy, so they're perfectly fine out of doors. A little tip with sweet peas. First of all, add plenty of organic matter or compost to the soil because they're really hungry feeders, and pinch them back. So remove about half an inch of the top end of the sweet pea plant. Pinch that out, plant them out, space them about 6 inches apart, and you'll have fantastic sweet peas by the middle of June. They'll be ready for cutting.
Two questions on jasmine, which is interesting, two in a row. We planted star jasmine in pots last summer, and they're grown very well on a trellis on a south-facing wall. We've noticed some of the plants have leaves turning yellow. Have you any advice? We're watering twice weekly and using tomato feed as per the instructions.
You're simply overwatering, because at this time of year, like I said, growth has been really, really slow. So plants won't require watering more than about every 10 days to 2 weeks, depending on the size of the pot. But a newly planted star jasmine every 10 days to 14 days is more than sufficient to water it. So you're simply just giving it too much watering. You don't really need the feed for, you know, they're just coming into growth at the moment. So feeding with a tomato food every 3 weeks at this time of year would be fine for jasmine. Now, as we go through the summer and as that star jasmine comes into growth and it's vigorously growing and the days are warmer, yes, increase the watering, but twice weekly is way too much, and the plant is telling you that by showing the yellow leaves.
Peter is in Carlow. He says, the one before that is the jasmine one. Can I please ask your guest what I can do for my star of jasmine that has never flowered since I bought it 3 years ago? Is it overwatering again, is it?
Well, the jasmines tend to be hungry plants, and they do a lot of growing, Jonathan, for the first couple of years and then settle down to flowering. So don't expect flowers for probably 3 to 4 years on a jasmine. As long as it's actively growing and growing really well, it will settle down to flowering in time. So it's only a matter of timing, really.
Peter is in Carlow, as I said. What pot plants prefer shade over sun? I'm looking to plant some on the north side of the house. Would morning glories be happiest there, he asks.
No, morning glory needs full sun. But if you're looking for shade plants, things like hostas do really well. Astilbe, the lovely flowering astilbes do really, really, really well. Castor oil plants love the shade as well. Plants like Virginia, garden ferns, there's a whole range of different ferns that will tolerate the shade. So look at, pop into your local garden centre. They'll have a whole collection of shade-loving plants. But keep your morning glory to a really bright, sunny location. It needs the sun.
Brita has got in contact as well. My grapevine is infested again this year along the bark with a small white sticky blob with a brown-like cap. Brita sounds like she really hates this and has spent a lot of time looking at it. Could you possibly explain what might be causing the grapevine to have a small white blob with a brown-like cap?
Absolutely. This is a pest of grapevines, very common, called mealy bug. And the mealy bug, they're like little blobs of cotton wool along the actual bark of the stem. And they're sitting there since last winter. So they've overwintered on your grapevine and will spread up along the plant as the grapevine starts to produce new leaves and as it comes into flower. So it's very important to get rid of it. My advice is to use methylated spirits of all things. So a little bit of methylated spirits dabbed onto the mealy bug that will kill it overnight.
Don't spray it on with a sprayer.
No.
You literally dab it on with a cotton bud or something, is it?
Yeah, if you want to make it up into a small little hand sprayer, you can certainly apply it that way. But normally we dab it on because they're like little cotton buds and they absorb the methylated spirits really well, and that's what kills them off. So that white coloration you see on the mealy bug is actually an exterior protective coating it gives itself. So normal sprays don't work, but methylated spirits works really well on our friend the mealybug. But now is the time to address it because it will start to spread. Interesting enough, Jonathan, mealybug is often spread by ants of all things. The ants will actually protect the mealybug from other predators because they feed off a sap that the mealybug produces. So when the mealybug is feeding on the grapevine, it's producing this kind of sugary sap, and the ants of all things, garden ants, will actually feed off that sugary sap, and they'll actually protect the mealybug from any other predators. Isn't that interesting?
a fantastic symbiotic relationship, as we learned about indeed. In biology in school. Here's one for you. I bought a packet of giant sequoia tree seeds from the US a few years ago. Could you ask Porrick how I go about growing them? Well, based on the only sequoia tree that I've ever seen, first of all, you write off your house and then your neighbour's house and the one next to it, because it's going to dominate any landscape that you planted in.
Absolutely. The giant redwoods will grow anything up to 25 or 30 metres in height, so 100 feet plus in height. So do be careful where you plant it. And
You won't have to worry about it, but your kids will hate you.
Absolutely. But remember, they make a beautiful tree. They originate, of course, from California, and they need to be sown. The seed is sown in compost, generally half sand, half peat compost, or half perlite, half peat. And interesting enough, you need to put them in the fridge for about 4 weeks. So once you sow them in the tray, slip them into a polythene bag, put them into your fridge, because they need that chilling effect. They've got to think it's wintertime and the seed is actually, the dormancy is broken by cold temperatures. So stick them in the fridge for 4 weeks and then simply take them outside, keep them on a bright windowsill somewhere in your house in a nice bright area, and they'll germinate in about a month's time, and you can simply just pot them up and grow them on. But as you said quite rightly, Jonathan, they are big conifers, so be very careful where you plant them.
Carl is in Skerries. Good morning, Carl. I got a present of an orchid. I don't know how to care for it. Have you any advice? Well, you can hand it back, number one. Number two, my understanding of orchids is they need very little care. Just don't overwater them, whatever you do.
Absolutely. They're epiphytes. And by epiphytes, so they normally originate in trees and they grow in mosses. So they are very easy to grow, and too much care, too much watering, too much overfeeding generally results in a dead orchid. So a little bit of neglect. Again, at this time of year, keep it in a semi-bright location, so kind of a windowsill sort of situation, out of direct sunlight. You're watering it about once a fortnight, giving it a little bit of orchid feed. And when it comes up to the time for repotting it, make sure that you don't put it into the normal houseplant compost or multi-purpose compost. There's a specific orchid compost that you'll get in your local garden centre that's very fibrous, that mimics that condition that it normally grows in kind of a mossy, it's a very loose type compost. So apart from that, Jonathan, orchids are dead easy to grow.
Patricia texted News Talk. Is it okay to plant out runner bean plants, or will the frost still get them?
No, runner beans can be affected by frost. So particularly if you've got them inside and they're a little bit soft, I would harden them off for another week to 10 days and then plant them out. Once they've been toughened up a little bit, they'll be perfectly fine to go out. So about 10 days time.
Okay. We better get one more in before we wrap up. Could Porrick recommend a plant that would function as a screen from the neighbours? Uh-oh. I want something that'll go up to about 8 feet. They're clearly short neighbours. And isn't going to take a huge amount of area from the ground. Doesn't need to be permanently planted because the fence runs along decking. You're going to struggle to get something that's 8 feet tall if it isn't permanently planted, are you?
I'm thinking artificial plants here, Jonathan, because, I mean, look, if you can't plant them into the ground.
Do you feel all right if you're recommending artificial plants? It's not you.
Well, look, if you can't plant them directly into the garden soil, plants are not going to live forever in containers, particularly if you want them 8 feet high. So, you know, it's going to be a very difficult situation. If you plant up plants in troughs or containers, they've got about maybe 4 years, 5 years, and after that, they're going to start deteriorating. So really, ideally, you want something that's... ideally, if you can get the plants into the ground, there's lots of choices that are available. But unfortunately, if the ground doesn't allow for that, you're looking at putting up some screening, some maybe timber screening or reed screening or something that's just going to block the neighbours. Plants are going to find it very difficult.
Yeah, certainly if you want to move them. Porrick Horkin, as always, horkins.ie. Thank you so much for joining us on the Pat Kenny Show. More from Porrick next week.